From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed, and we are here to talk about our upcoming performance of Beauty and the Beast. And to that end, I have both Beauty and the Beast in the room with me.
Yeah.
Guess who's who?
Yeah, take a while. We took some
it may not be what you think
with this show. Yeah, we have gender swapped literally every role.
Yes. Roar.
We've actually
I am
replaced
Beast.
All of the castle household items with actual items and not
human
beings.
We just have
we just have an actual
candlestick.
We've added a new character, a Swiffer.
We've modernized it a bit. This takes place in France in 1992.
So. We've named him Swifty.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's lovely.
We have also converted all of the songs to Norwegian black metal, so
yes.
I hope you listen to that.
Yeah, I fought very hard for that. Yeah,
everybody
in the cast was so against it, and that's probably why a majority of them left. So,
right,
you know,
which
what?
Is
that's
why these two are
which
playing
is
all the parts.
But you know, the movie's all about Belle, so obviously you got creative liberties on that.
Clearly. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
It's
sure.
Belle and her pet. Is what this is. Yeah,
we've rebranded.
100%.
I think that's where I'm going to stop with the jokes. It
just keeps going.
It just goes to worse and worse places.
You're welcome.
So, again, I gotta say, I have Jordan and Dylan in here with me. And again, you can guess which is which, unless you guys want to clarify that.
I mean, I'm the Beast.
I'm the Belle.
Yes,
so
you are.
That is enough for me. This is specifically Disney's Beauty and the Beast that we're doing, right? It is not because obviously the story is hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being real little and being really angry when I found out that, like, Snow White and Cinderella and a lot of these characters, Sleeping Beauty, were not original Disney creations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they were all like, I just got real disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like definitely that point in your learning about like fantasy things where you're like, wait, Disney doesn't own everything.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, they do more now than they did then. So
yeah.
But I do also like Beauty and the Beast coming up. Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid, that whole late 80s, 90s era of Disney was super formative. I can very much remember the trailers for Beauty and the Beast and just being that chandelier in the ballroom scene with mm-hmm. the camera panning down past the chandelier. It's like one of the earliest examples of using CG in a movie. Was
I feel like every DVD that I watched as a kid, you know, whenever I'd be sitting I would be sitting in the back of my mom and dad's car, and we would be playing like some movie or TV show or whatever, like on the little screen in the car. And every time it was a Disney movie, there was always the scene of like the camera panning down in the ballroom with them dancing, and it was always stuck out in my head. I've always remembered it. It's been with me forever.
Excellent. I came in with things to say, and then we stopped, and I just blanked.
That's it. Yep.
That's real cool, man.
Yeah.
Chandeliers,
dude.
Gotta love them.
Gotta love chandelier.
They light things up for you.
They do.
Do you have a chandelier in this show?
No.
I don't think
like
so.
Oversight.
I agree. I feel like that'd be perfect.
But we just dress somebody up as a chandelier.
We honestly could.
Dangle
from them from the rafters.
It's a whole character now.
Yeah.
We'll add that.
They have to just sit there and look terrified the entire time.
Well, it is kind of interesting that all of the people would transfer into animated household objects, and the chandelier is somehow still just a chandelier.
I know. They have a whole brick wall, evidently, that's a human.
Yeah. They do.
Like, is the castle itself alive? Is that a...
I've always wondered that. I've always liked that idea. I mean, what is it? Wasn't there like a sequel that came out for it where they had an organ that was alive that was played by Tim Curry? Forte.
Yes.
His name was Forte, and it was played by Tim Curry, and it was like incredible. And I was like, wow. I never imagined something that big would be a sentient being in this castle, and then it made me wonder, like, what if the actual entire castle is a human being, but it's not. It's like Unicron from Transformers.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
It's
Unicron, yes.
Yeah. You just ignited a memory from like my childhood, like vault.
Unicron, which was the final role of Orson Welles.
How they got
Orson Welles to do the Transformers movie.
Never know.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Leonard Nimoy was Galvatron.
Yes, he was.
So, anyway. No planet-devouring monsters in this show, however. Beauty and the Beast, like I said, age-old. You might say that it's a tale as old things.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Call it.
That's a wrap.
Boom. Out. We're out. That's what I should have put on the poster.
Perfect. Tale as old as old things.
As old as things. Your grandma.
I remember when this thing came out.
I remember
back
when
in my day.
Yes.
Back in my day.
She's got first edition of the first.
Got that good old dusty VHS.
Yeah. So it is a story of a. Well, why don't you guys, for the four people listening who don't may not know, what is this show about? What's at the core of this show?
Well, let me tell ya. So, Beauty and the Beast, obviously, it's a fairy tale, so you have a prince, you have a princess. But truthfully, it follows the two characters, which is Beast and Belle, and in a lot of ways, as they find themselves. So you have a young girl who is very different and odd and doesn't really fit in. Disney really portrays her as more of a feminist character, which is really great because I love a good, solid, empowering women moment.
Yeah.
And she's a part of this little town, ends up, her father ends up in trouble. She goes to find him and ends up in the Beast Castle. And you learn that Beast is cursed because he was a bully when he was younger.
That's right. Yeah, it was.
And he's a really interesting character just because he is so lost within himself and doesn't really know how to be who he is.
Yeah.
And so you really just follow both of them discovering themselves and in that journey discovering each other as well.
They discover themselves in each other.
Yeah.
Is what it kind of feels like.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's literally just, it's magic, you know? It's magical in its own way. It is a fairy tale. It is classic Disney, you know, esque feel, good feelings, good times to it. And it's great, you know? Of course, you know, the whole thing is he has to learn how to love and has to be loved in return before the last petal falls off that rose.
Which is really almost the harder part, like learning how to love is already its own thing. But you have to make someone love you as well, because it's not something you can make somebody do. It either happens or it doesn't.
Yeah, and kind of like what Jordan was saying. I mean, he's so lost within himself, you know, at the beginning of this show, that you kind of wonder, like, how is he really going to do this? You know, and that's one thing that I loved about the movie is that they really make you root for him by the time you get into like that second, third act. You know, they're like, you kind of sit there and you're like, man, I want this guy, you know, to be human again. I want this guy to fall in love and for her to love him. Like, you start rooting for them, and they add just a little bit more into the show, which is really nice, for a little bit more character moments and more context, which makes you want that even more for them, which is really awesome and a lot of fun to play around with, and a lot of you know, good journeys and good moments to take in. So, yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity to really, especially in the musical, to really dive into that vulnerability of learning to love yourself, learning to love others. Like, those moments where you're convinced someone is one way, and then there's that brief break of, like, I'm big and scary, but wait a minute, maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
And so the ability to, like, bring that to life and really dig into it far more than like a movie can do. Makes my soul happy.
It's great. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Have they added in back in any of the songs that were cut from the movie, or
was If I Can't Love Her a part of the original part of the movie?
So I have a confession. I don't think I've actually ever seen the full Beauty and the Beast movie.
Really?
Yes. So I saw the live action one. I actually, my introduction and my knowledge for Beauty and the Beast is only from the stage production. It was the first musical I ever saw. I was 5 years old. We took my kindergarten teacher and my mom. And so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually not super familiar with like all the production stuff behind the movie. And yeah. It's funny because I'm almost kind of in a similar boat as you are, where I hadn't seen the full movie all the way through until getting ready for this audition.
Really?
And I watched. But I had seen the live action, I think, two or three times, because whenever it came out, I went to go see it with my girlfriend at the time, and then my whole group of friends wanted to go see it, and then we had like another part of that same group who didn't get to see it, so it went again for them. So I ended up seeing it, like, ended up seeing the live action like three times, but I didn't see the full animated until getting ready for the audition, and then whenever I got the callback, I watched it again the night before the callback, just to get kind of a, you know, get it solidified in my head of this is how these characters should be, you know, this is like an idea that I should go with, and I would also watch stage productions of it, you know, to also see how does it differ and what's added, what's new, what's, you know, how can we play with it a little bit more, how do people portray it so that I can do it my own way, but also honor the source material at the same time. So yeah, no, so I get what you're saying is my point. Yeah,
but that's surprising.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And it's funny because like my, you know, I want my younger siblings are watching that almost every other day.
Yeah,
you know, like even before I auditioned for this, so they're gonna, like, I didn't grow up with this one like they did. I had it on VHS, but it wasn't something that I watched all the time. So it's kind of cool to be able to bring this to life for people like my younger siblings and for other kids, and they're going to be able to look back and say, I met Belle and Beast, you know, or I saw them on stage.
Yeah.
So create those memories for them.
Now that's wild, because I grew up right in the middle of that late 80s, early 90s Disney renaissance that happened then. So all of the movies from that era, Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and Aladdin and Lion King and a lot of that whole chunk of movies there are pretty formative part of my childhood. So it's wild to, I mean, everybody's got movies that are super famous. Everybody has seen this that they haven't seen, but it's always kind of surprising.
And it's always been such a weird thing for me to being like, I love Beauty and the Beast, and like, oh yeah, let's watch the movie. I'm like, no, I wanna listen to the CD. Like, can we get tickets to a show?
Let's all sing along with all the songs.
Yeah. Come on, that's just as fun, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that there were a lot of musical theater sing-alongs going on at slumber parties when I was a kid, but
not for me.
I was the musical theater sing-along.
Right, right.
Yeah. Everybody's like, "Shh, Jordan, we want to watch the movie," and I'm in the back, like with karaoke.
I know all the songs.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
you had costumes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Did quick changes for every character.
Absolutely.
Every time someone had dialogue.
On a very real level, I used to put on these like elaborate productions for I would make my parents sit down for like an hour, and there were costumes, I made sets, I wrote music, we used the Barbie movie soundtracks and like lip synced to them and danced. I was that kid.
Amazing. We never went quite that far, but we did my grandparents owned a video camera, so whenever they came over, my sister and I would absolutely write little 10-minute short films for the, and was like, we'd go right back in the back and practice it, and it's like, all right, Grandpa, you have to come film our movie now.
Heck yeah.
But he has had all of those tapes, and I think they may have gone when he did, which is sad, because, but yeah, it was, so I can relate to that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I feel a lot of my friends at that point would not have been cool and okay to admit that I was into musical theater, though, so.
See, I was doing musical theater whenever I was in like third grade, so I was 9 going on 10, I think, was my first like kid musical, and that was Annie. Annie Jr. was my first.
Yours was my first show was Annie.
Heck yeah!
I was nice.
Awesome.
I was 5, and it was at South Plains College. I played Molly.
Sweet, yeah. I played the dog catcher.
I also played Molly.
I played Molly, and then I switched over and played Mrs. Hannigan.
And then I got to be Annie.
Put
on that red wig, and I was just...
Yeah. Don't ask what happened to the original actresses. I have no idea.
should probably go let him out of that shed.
Yeah.
it's been a couple years.
I'm pretty, I'm pretty sure I fed him. No, but but
bring your kids.
Bring your kids. It's going to be safe, guys. I promise. But yeah, no, I did. I was the dog catcher and the radio show guy.
Oh, cool.
Whenever I did it. And then I did 101 Dalmatians like the year after. So those were like my first. And I was ensemble. But those were my first musical things, you know. And like I had like some friends come to see it, you know, here and there. But it wasn't. By the time like I finished those, I was kind of like, okay, I'm not into this anymore. This isn't fun. And then it wasn't until I got a little bit older, maybe like midway through middle school, like to the late end of middle school, I started doing some musicals again. And then I went to just straight acting, and then I came back and did musicals again. So
I have never in my life done a musical.
Really?
Oh yeah, no, I don't sing well.
Oh, so come on.
No.
You could just smile and dance.
I probably could. I've just been too afraid to do it. I've done straight plays all my life. And even then, I was very, I didn't think I had it in me to get on stage until like high school.
Yeah.
So most of elementary, I was too terrified to ever even try it. So
it's funny because I somewhat relate to that, but I was the kid who I could perform in front of massive amounts of strangers and have no issues with it. Yeah. Whenever my parents would say, hey, do this for us, like sing this for us, dance to this for us, I'd be like, no. Like, no, that's weird. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So that was really, that was kind of a weird thing for me. But no, I get it. Like, I mean, I started with imitations.
Yeah.
You know, imitating stuff is how I got into theater in general. So whenever my parents picked up that I could do accents, they were like, what?
put them in the theater.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
So you talked about doing your first musical at 5. Have you been doing them since then, or was there like a huge break in life? Or
yeah, so I started when I was really little. I used to go to Broadway Church of Christ, like when I was itty bitty, and they do these like kids musicals. They would have like music camp, and it was a week where you would go and do like a
very out of nature for the Church of Christ.
Yes, I know, it gets crazy.
Yeah.
But they would do them, and then they would be like about like Jesus or something. I think like it was Dr. Neckup Checkup, and it was like a bunch of people who were like not doing well spiritually, and there was a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And like, anyways, so someone heard me sing a solo there, and they were like, hey, we're having auditions for these shows. And so my mom took me, and I got the part. The small human parts, because I did two. I did Annie and I did Sound of Music, and I was Molly and Gretel.
Very cool.
And then we stopped, and I did not do musical theater again until I was in, was it eighth grade? I think it was eighth grade. And I really wanted to get back into it. I was really struggling as a human being at that time with like just a bunch of like mental illness stuff and small human problems. And I got involved with Hub City Performing Arts.
Oh, yeah.
I was on scholarship there for a year, I think. And then I had to drop out of that because I was told I can do cheer or musical theater. And my little high school brain was like, I want to be a cheerleader.
Right.
And my school didn't have, my school, choir program started my freshman year, so we didn't have anything except for like one act play, so I did a little bit of one act play once or twice, and then I didn't go back to it until I went to college. And then I was in every musical I could get my hands on. So I have like weird gaps. But
oh, for sure. So mine was one act is some of my fondest high school memories.
Me too.
And then I remember like saying as soon as I graduate, I'm going to go get involved with the local community theater. And then I did not for whatever reason. And it was another 17 years before I finally was like, oh, yeah, I should do that.
Heck yeah.
So
no, I totally get it.
But yeah.
You said Hub City Performing Arts. Did it become Hub Performing Arts?
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Okay, because that's what I did.
Oh, is it really?
For Annie and 101 Dalmatians as a little kid.
My ears. I probably.
Yeah, it was 2009, 2010, whenever I was younger. And then
that would have been right after me.
Okay, yeah.
Because
makes sense.
Not me having to do math. If I graduated
You're
in
welcome.
2013, that means I was how old?
Yeah.
No, you must have been in it right after me.
Okay.
Which means you probably know some of the same people.
Probably.
Crazy.
That's interesting.
It's a small world.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
that's
in
really
2010, awesome. I was getting ready to have my first kid, so.
You know, I was having this talk with my mom and dad the other day. I asked my mom, I was like, how old were you when you got married? And she was like 21. Your dad was 23. No, that's a lie because he's 6 years older than her.
Yeah.
You know, a little older than I am now. And I think, she was having me whenever she was... No, she was 22 when she got married, is what she said. So, she was like around my age. And I was looking at her and I was like, I can't imagine... being married and having a kid right now. It was my grandparents we were talking about. That's what it was. That's right. It was my grandparents. She was, I think she was 21 and he was 23. And I was like, no, thank you.
No, my mom
not
was,
right now.
My mom was 19.
Golly.
Oh, man.
Conversely, I was 29 when I got married.
Yeah.
So it was,
that's yikes. Nuts. Yeah, I can't even.
I think 28, and if anybody ever gives me my own small human to care for, that is intimidating. And I work with kids.
I was going to say, you work with kids from time to time. So it's
one of my best friends, group of my friends just came into town for Thanksgiving, and one of them just had a kid with her husband a few months ago, and we finally got to meet their son, and we were all holding him the other day, and I was just kind of sitting there looking at him, and we're passing him around, and I looked at my buddy, and I went, by the time that kid is 19 or late teens, early 20s, we're going to be in our 40s, almost 50s.
Yeah.
I was like, think about that. I was like, isn't that crazy? And we're going to say, we held you when you were a baby.
There's a weird sensation to when you get to that part, particularly like the upper 30s or the early 40s or something, because now there are people, I have people in this theater who are adult colleagues that I think of as peers who were not born when I was a legal adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Like I have colleagues who, like, if I had started having kids the same time my parents did, I could be these kids' parents.
That's insane.
It's like that's nuts.
It always blows my mind, like, having worked with, like, I've worked with kids for a very long time. And so, like, having worked with, like, itty bitties when I was, like, 19, 20, and now they're like teens. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
No, go back. Or like kids that I babysat in high school when they were like little bitty and I was like 17 and then they graduated and I'm like, what?
my wife had a problem. She saw on Facebook a young woman, like probably in her mid 20s now, who my wife babysat as like a toddler. Mm-hmm. And now she's posting pictures from her beach vacation. And my wife is like, put some clothes on! What are you doing? Like, I don't know. And that's a lot like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Belle, put your clothes on. Beast, put on some clothes.
There's a lot of beach scenes in this.
Absolutely. Obviously.
But Beast rocks that bikini, though.
Yes, he does. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason there's all kinds of fan art for him on the internet, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't doubt.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Whatever horrible thing you can conceive of probably
exists. Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy because our director, Ian, was actually my sixth grade choir teacher. And Samantha, our Mrs. Potts, was my seventh and eighth grade choir teacher.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of crazy how it all came full circle to work with them again. I actually had that talk with Samantha the other day. She walked up to me and was like, I just realized who you are. And I was like, hey, how you doing? But
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to be able to like come back and do a show like this with, old mentors.
Yeah.
You know, which is really, really neat. So,
have you had any experiences like that with people from your youth who are now...
Oh, I don't think so. Not that I recall. Like I said, our music program at my school never was really huge. We have an amazing, they had an amazing band program. But, I mean, like, I didn't have a lot of connections with adults in musical theater. And so I haven't run into that yet. I will be interested if I do, though. I did have a kind of the same experience when I was like little bitty and they figured out I could sing. My parents were thinking about making me a cactus cutie, having me go do cactus theater and stuff. Yeah. And one of their rules is you have to take voice lessons from them. And so they took me to LCU, Lori Doyle, who works at LCU. Mm-hmm. She listened to me sing and told them, don't put her in voice lessons. Don't do it. And so
she's got no future.
No, she had me actually sing for one of their college classes while I was there. Wow. And,
yeah, that's something.
I ended up going to school at LCU and studied under her for my entire degree. And so that was really cool. But I think that's the closest thing I have to kind of a like small human moment. And now we're not peers, but we're working very much like two adults.
Yeah, it is very weird. When you have something like that, like, it's hard to ever consider that person a peer because that's it's if someone was your teacher, there's still
she will always be Dr. Doyle.
Yeah. Like, well, I came across the other day. This was not the other day. It was about 7 years ago. I was helping a friend get some take their car in to get some work done on it, and it turned out that the guy who was running this auto shop was one of the coaches from my high school. Mm-hmm. In small town Texas, the coach means he was also my history teacher and a couple of other things. And it was very like, I could not call him Coach Law. You know, it was like, it was, it's some, but it's.
I lied. I do. It's just not in the theater.
Ah.
I had a high school science teacher, Mr. Hill. Who is now my coworker at the children's home. He's the head of maintenance, and I have to text him all the time to come fix my ceiling.
That's crazy.
Now I call him Mike, and that's weird.
It's going to be my next question. Do you call me Mike, come fix this?
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. It's odd. But
do you get that way with Ian at all?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always look at him and I'm like, that's Mr. Klotzman. You know, or like at Samantha, I'm like, it's Mrs. Pierce. You know, I know them.
Yeah.
And they taught me, but I'm always like, I get to call you by your actual first names now and have like adult conversations with you.
Yeah.
You know, and like this is, it's really cool, you know, to be able to get to know him on that level and not just a student teacher level, you know.
And now real
you
can people get, now.
You can get the dirt from them now. It's like that level with me, like, who were the worst?
Yeah, guys? No, absolutely. But they've been fantastic to work. The whole cast has been absolutely incredible. It's been nothing but positive energy and good vibes the entire time. Everyone's been great. Ian has had such an awesome vision and wanting to stay so true to the original story, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, just everybody is so talented. You know, I'm very glad I get to work with you, Jordan.
Same.
You've been a great, you know, scene partner to work with. You know, just everybody. I mean, you know, our Gaston, you know, Jeremy is incredible. He's killing it right now. Zach is Lumiere, you know, Caleb is Cogsworth. You know, it's just everybody is so good. And this is also one of the coolest ensembles I've ever gotten to work
with.
Yeah. So
they have given, I really, really am absolutely just in love with the directing style and the way that each of the directors, like music, choreography, like the director has handled, allowing us the freedom to really figure out who these people are and to portray them in ways that feel most authentic to us while also protecting that storyline, like you said.
Yeah.
And it is always insane to get up on a stage and know the caliber of talent that is there with you.
It's honestly overwhelming for me, at least. Like, I look around and I'm like, these people are incredible. Incredible, and I get the opportunity to work with them. Like, that is so amazing, and that's so, it's an honor, like, really.
Yeah.
Like,
being
able to, like, look at these people and go, golly! You know, I remember sitting there during our first read-through, and I was like, what?
I remember going to callbacks, and I was terrified, mind you. And I walk into that room, they could have casted the show four different ways.
They really could have.
It was the most amazing, intimidating callback I've ever had, and not because anybody was mean, but just because of the caliber of talent that they fit in one tiny room.
And I think that really speaks to just the talent that's in Lubbock, Lubbock area, and within the West Texas area.
Absolutely.
Like, there is so much talent in this area, and everybody is so unbelievably good.
And they're kind.
And they're good-hearted people.
Yes.
Like, how can you go wrong with that?
Yes.
You know, everyone is so kind and so humble, and that's just absolutely awesome. And I couldn't ask for anything more, like, truly.
That was very much the same experience, and you were there for this also, but for Play That Goes Wrong auditions and callbacks. God. It was very much the same thing. It was like, first off, there are 3,000 people in this room.
Yeah.
They're all real good.
Uh-huh.
They're all real kind about it. So even at callbacks, we weren't all, like, jockeying for these parts against right. each other. Like, we were all just having a good time.
Yeah.
And it was another thing where there were so many people there that were so good that she could have cast that show. She could have had 8 different casts out of that room, and every one of them would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
But it says this whole season, both the main stage and our children's shows have been that way.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous turnout for auditions, and all of them being really good. Like, all of our casting directors this year have had a real hard job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And
do not envy any of them.
No. And like you guys were saying, that says something for the talent in the Lubbock area just in general. The yeah. whole Lubbock theater scene. There's a lot of gold out there.
Yeah.
I had stopped. So when I graduated from college, I took a break, like, from about 2015 until last year for Bonnie and Clyde, mm-hmm. From musical theater. And I did a couple, like, reviews here and there, but that was really it. And I think that it, as someone who really never was involved in a lot of community theater, coming back into this space was very intimidating.
Because oh, yeah.
theater can be one of the best places. It also can be a not great place you're not doing it with the right people. A lot of
cutthroat drama.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And I know that I was so intimidated, and I don't like doing new things. I don't like going to new places by myself. And I had run into Jillian, who mm-hmm. was the director for Bonnie and Clyde, mm-hmm. and she actually scouted me out at a Comic-Con because I sell sparkle cloaks. And she was recruiting me for costumes, and I ended up coming to the auditions, and I auditioned. And from that point on, like, just the people who make this community theater, and even like I haven't delved into some of the other ones, mostly because it's a new thing. I have to get over that anxiety.
Yeah,
that was,
but yeah, for sure.
Like, the people that I have met and the experiences that I've had and the relationships that I've formed are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I just fangirl a little bit about it, because Lubbock is a crazy place. It's good, yeah. It's bad, it's ugly, it's beautiful, it's everything. And so to find a space with people who share this community throughout all the theaters and just have it be good.
And that is what you want, too. It not just like, this is the good theater and these other theaters are crap and this one's okay and these people are jerks. And you want... There's so much overlap between the talent at all of the theaters.
Yes.
Like, we have people who are doing this show at LCT who just got off of this show at the Wallace.
Yes.
Who have done work at The Edge or at Cats or at all these other places. And it's that's what you want. You don't want to be fighting with any other theater. You don't want to be, like, there's room for all of us. And it's super awesome that there are so many places for so many people to go because... as we were just saying, there's so much talent here.
Yeah.
And one theater could not contain all of it. So.
No, they couldn't. And it's another thing of kind of like what Jordan was just saying. Like, you really could cast every show like 3 or 4 different ways with the amount of people that we have and the amount of talent that you got in the room, which is so incredible. And like, that's, I feel like that's not something you always get to hear. You know, that's not something that you're used to hearing whenever it comes to theater of like, we could have casted this all these different ways. It's usually, you know, this person was made for this part and that's the way it was meant to be.
Yeah.
No, like, you could really mix and match all the different, you know, bits and pieces of talent that we have around here, and you'd get an awesome product no matter what.
Yeah.
Which is just really cool.
Well, I think like Jillian can tell stories about casting a couple of shows recently, and I won't name any names obviously, mm-hmm. but there are very much times where she's like, I really had this person in mind, but then this person came out of left field and blew me away, and I had to cast them. And it was,
One of my favorite parts about audition processes is even in a place, like, we walked into that room and I was like, they can't cast this wrong. Like, there is no wrong answer with the people who are in this room. But one of my favorite parts of that whole experience, in between being terrified, was when you there's always a moment where you are like, that's who that is.
Yep.
I remember yours. Aww. And I remember I was sitting in the chair and I was like, I'm not reading with him. He's going to be the Beast. I also I remembered, like LeFou's and Gaston's. Mm. And it's just a really cool thing to sit in that room and be like, anybody could play anything. But like, that's the moment where they became the character that they're going to be in the
100%.
Show. 100%.
Yeah. I remember SpongeBob auditions were very, very similar to that. That was an audition where you walked in and it felt like the characters chose their actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost, which is like really kind of weird whenever you put it in the context of SpongeBob. that's how it felt. It was like the characters really chose their actors and like, you know, the people that like we were gunning for. You're like, I remember I was gunning for like a specific character, mm-hmm. and then somebody else read for it and just absolutely knocked it out of the park. And I was like, well, you know what? Fine. I didn't want that part anyway. And then I ended up getting another part. And I was like, you know what? This is the one I was meant to play. This actually makes a lot more sense, and I feel more comfortable doing this one. Okay. And it's so cool. I agree. Like, I love moments like that where you can really just see those people step into those roles and you're like, yep, that's it. That's what we wanted.
In that role. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, you could see, like, with the talent that we've got, anybody could play any of the roles, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So it's very humbling. It's always very humbling, and it's very, you know, nice to be able to go, yeah, that person's really good. I need to step up my game, but I also need to, like, what can I learn from this person? And what can I learn from each audition? How can I apply what they're doing to my performances and my auditions going forward? And, you know, how can I learn from them? You know, what does everybody bring? And that goes for leads, ensemble, directors, you know, tech. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. Everybody who's involved in the production, what can I learn from this person? Yeah. And how can I take that with me going forward?
100%.
So, yeah. This is a really special show, I think everybody's really talented. The team has done an incredible job of putting it together.
The costuming.
Oh, I want to talk about the costuming. God, man.
The costuming.
So excited.
All I have seen so far is because we shot the commercial the other day. The commercial is out in
That was so good, by the way.
Yes.
We watched that last night.
I may have showed it to some people.
Yeah, we were real happy with how it came out. It's so good.
But Lumiere switched over, I was just like, wow, that's so cool.
Man.
Daniel and I had a lot of fun with that because while everyone was getting the costume, we were practicing the whip pan because it's going to be real easy effect to do if we just got to get it right and so the first when I was editing it together, he was messaging me, he was like, how did the whip pan come out? I was like, no, it's great. So the people in that commercial, we just used Babette and Lumiere, so those are the only costumes that I have seen so far. But those costumes were fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Oh my goodness, I was so excited. So when they sent out the cast list the next day, Jillian, who I don't know if she's like co-costumer or if she's just a part of the team.
Jill and Connor.
Okay, they're co.
Yeah, I think they're working together on
it. She texted me and was like, what are you doing right now? I was like, I'm dropping a kid off at school. Like, what's up? She's like, come here and try on all your costumes. So I got to try them on the next day. And of course, like, they haven't been fitted yet and they're not done yet. But they had me try on pieces of the yellow ball gown that Belle wears. And it's
the
like
iconic
this
Belle dress.
Yeah.
Oh, so and cool. they had a prom dress and they had a bodice that had been made. And so I tried the bodice on and it's gorgeous. It's actually on the actual dress now.
Yeah.
But the prom dress I tried on and I ended up flipping the top half of it under. So I had like the sparkle skirt and the top. And so they had that pinned on the mannequin for a long time. So in my brain, I'm like, okay, it's really pretty. Like it's gorgeous, but that's what I'm going to be wearing. Like that's cool. And then I get a text the other day, just a photo of the dress, and they have taken all of those pieces and made probably the most beautiful dress I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm. And it's so glittery, it has its own bag. It has to stay in a bag. I'm evidently going to be covered in glitter.
Yeah, that's
totally worth it. But like the costuming is just absolutely insane. They've done such a beautiful job of staying true to the time, of staying true to, like, the characters, working with the dance requirements, because the choreography in this show is phenomenal.
It's insane.
Like, I don't think that I could do it.
Looking at Be Our Guest and Gaston, like, both of those songs, I'm just like, golly.
They're so good. And let me tell you, each and every one of the people, the ensemble that are in those songs, they all deserve a reward.
They really do.
They bust their butts.
Like, every time they come off stage after doing one of those numbers, they're just like breathing really hard. And I'm like, that's how it should be. Yeah. You should be exhausted after you're done. And it's so good.
And they give everything. But I mean, I haven't even seen all of the costumes. I don't even know what they have planned for everything. But everything that is coming out of that costume shop is spectacular.
Yeah. it's magnificent. I cannot wait to see everybody's, like, full finished products.
I can't wait to see your Beast.
To say, are we allowed to talk about the Beast costume, or are there bits that, like, we don't want to spoil and
I actually don't know. That's a good question. Okay. That'd be a question for them.
I remember for Little Shop, we didn't want to talk about the fact that you were physically playing Audrey Taylor, coming out as the plant and everything.
Speaking of glitter, that was...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Jeez, nothing but glitter for that costume.
After seeing the show, and we're all just kind of out here eating, because I think we came to the closing show, and you were still in costume, because it took you 300 years to get out of that costume. And you're sitting over there eating, and my daughters were afraid to approach you. And eventually we got there, and it was like, well, I think the point is, like, this is actually Professor Plum from Clue, and they're like, oh!
Yeah.
But
man. That scumbag. No, that was a fun... That costume was so much fun. I feel like every costume... That is something that I will say, is that one thing I've been working on for this character in particular is just the way he moves. You know, one of my best friends, Kelton, from Play That Goes Wrong, he did Beauty and the Beast at his college, and... You know, he said that every production he's seen of it, you know, including the one that he was in and others that he's seen online, they never go all out with the Beast-like movements.
Yeah.
And I want to stay true to that, but at the same time, I have to make sure I can still sing. And that's something I really struggled with, is like balancing the yelling on top of all the beautiful singing that, you know, Beast has written for him. And
you
I'm just
shred
like...
shred your vocals yelling and then have to sing a beautiful...
Sucks, because I just got done doing that for like... basically what feels like two shows, because I did The Play That Goes Wrong, where I was yelling a whole lot, and then I did Nightmare on 19th Street, where I scream into that microphone 3 or 4 times a night.
Yeah.
But this is it's been a very unique challenge, and I really think, you know, this is, it's always happened with every character I get. Once that costume goes on, once the makeup goes on, it clicks. Yeah. Like, something just happens, and it's like magic for me. And I'm really excited to see what this is going to turn into once I get the full costume and makeup. I think it's going to be something really special, at least for me. I think it'll be really cool to see how it turns out. So, yeah.
Maybe I won't have to pretend to be scared. Maybe it'll just really
Maybe you'll be genuinely frightened.
Maybe I'll just yell at you and it'll be really awful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it'll be really cool. I know it's going to be a lot. It's going to be like a lot of pieces into it, but I'm really excited to see how it comes.
We just got
together.
Him a mame from Spirit Halloween. He just puts that on.
Yeah.
The Beast now.
Go forth.
Rawr.
Yeah. I'll do my best lion from
Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Put him up. Yeah. That'll be my Beast from now on. I think it'll be
You've cool. both seen that movie, right?
No, yeah. No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
For sure. My sister loved that movie growing up. It's actually her birthday today. Happy birthday, Jordan, if you're listening to this.
But your sister's also named Jordan?
Yeah.
There are so many Jordans in this world.
There's another Jordan in this show.
Yes, Babette.
Babette is another Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very tempted to put her down in my contacts. You know, her last name starts with an O, and I was going to put her as OJ. for my contacts, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. It's good enough. It's fine. I usually put down, once I get like somebody I meet from a show, I put them down as the character that I met them as.
Yeah.
So I've got you in there, Jordan, as Belle. I've got Zach in there as Seymour.
Mm.
So yeah, that's
It's a lot of fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk dates. Dates are the December 8th
December
through 8th. The 17th.
Yep.
That's
right.
That's right. But it's December 8th through 17th. And Lubbock, we have for the past few years been giving you lectures on ordering your tickets in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is something Lubbock notoriously does not do. This season, however, I feel like you have been getting much better at that.
Yeah.
Case in point, Beauty and the Beast was like a third sold out like 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Already. So if you haven't got your tickets yet and you want to see this show, we would strongly advise you to do it now.
Yes.
Which you can do at lubbockcommunitytheater.org. You can also call the box office if you want. You can do it that way. But don't count on there being a lot of tickets, if any, left for you to just walk in and get on whatever random night.
No.
If you're not following our social media, you should. We constantly are pushing out what's happening at the theater, including links to where to get tickets, if new tickets become available, when shows are sold out.
Yeah, our social media presence has very much taken an upswing. There, some new kid that I don't know.
Yeah, she's weird.
She's actually extremely irritating, but we put up with her because she does a great job with the social media. So
plot twist, it's me.
That's the surprise there.
Whoa! Yeah. I didn't see that one coming from us.
Make Jed think I'm doing a good job and follow us on Facebook.
Our social media is a great place to go to get all of our anything that's going on. We have so much going on, not as much as last month, but we've always got so much going on. And Facebook and Instagram are good places to find out what's going on and get little tidbits of behind the scenes information. And you can always swing over to our TikTok to see kind of the human side of the theater. And follow those three things, you are going to be very well informed of what we're doing at all times.
Yes.
So thank you to everyone who's listening, supporting the shows, supporting everything that we are doing here on our main stage, our side events, our youth theater, everything else. Thank you so much. And thank you to Jordan and Dylan for rambling on for with me for nearly an hour now.
Appreciate it.
It's been fun.
And I hope you, the listener, now feel like you know Jordan and Dylan a little bit better, and that also entices you to come see the show.
Please.
Until then, this has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.